Bread Mountain Dreams, or The Time When Rodney Dreamt They Were All Two-Dimensional Paper Things, like some bizarre cross between Flatlands, which was completely overrated, and Little House on the Prairie Paper Doll Edition. At least it was more Little House on the Prairie, which is to say, homemade and crappy, and less The Ancients Were Strangely Evil, which is to say, like a horror movie with bad special effects, which is to say, like most of their life, and spent the whole time scaling the ridiculously high cliffs and obnoxiously rough terrain of Bread Mountains. By Fish Echo. Read by Juniper Phoenix. You said, come on, Rodney, it's not that far. It's for a good cause. There might be a ZPM, Rodney. It's just a short walk, Rodney. Well, I'm calling you on your lies, Shepherd. This cliff, this sheer cliff face, is hardly a walk in the park now, is it, hmm? Rodney was not enjoying this short, easy walk. Lies. Come on, McKay, it's not that bad, John wheedled. Ronan's even strung up the ropes. Rodney glared. How strong was that energy signature again? John tempted. Okay, fine. But if I fall and die, I'm haunting your ass from now until the end of time. Deal. He hauled himself up the cliff, scrambled across badly broken ground, scaled another cliff, and stumbled over more incredibly difficult ground. Situation normal for off-world missions in the Pegasus Galaxy. Then Rodney caught sight of something out of the corner of his eye. Or rather, he didn't. When Shepard reached into his vest pocket for his sunglasses, his arm disappeared. Had there been some tingling a while back? He remembered feeling slightly odd, but he'd assumed it was repressed rage at the layout of Cliffy Planet of Hate. Did you initialize some ancient flower press reality machine, Colonel Touches Alien Artifacts Without Protection? What are you talking about? John's smirk had morphed into slight concern, but his body hadn't morphed at all. He was still entirely two-dimensional. You, we, us, we're all two-dimensional right now. Oh, hey, we are. Cool. John was clearly enjoying twisting his arms to see what he looked like in two dimensions, whereas Ronan was busy checking that all his knives were safe. Taylor just looked Taylor-ish. This is not cool. This is the opposite of cool. This is a disaster. Who knows what will happen? I am not going to turn into a butterfly, McKay, stated Ronan. What? Why would you? Oh no, there was some sort of psychological effect also, and I am neither a butterfly dreaming I'm a man, nor a man dreaming I'm a butterfly. I am you dreaming one of your teammates. If you make me a butterfly, the real me will exact revenge. Ronan glared. How is that even possible? And wait, what? Dreaming? Don't ask, don't tell. I hate my life. No, wait, I hate you all. Especially cavemen with odd ideas of philosophy. Rodney, Taylor cut in, I do not think this discussion is useful or fruitful. Also, why am I carrying a trout instead of my P90? You are two-dimensional! How can you be carrying anything? I agree with Ronan, Rodney. You are dreaming this. You're all nuts. There must have been some crazy alien artifact. Taylor interrupted. We are walking on bread, Rodney. This is indicative of something, certainly. And it appears to be the harvest bread of Twarlinane, of which you are so fond. Rodney paused. The ground was rather bread-like. How odd. He broke off a small piece of the ground and nibbled at it. Oh, was Taylor still talking? Perhaps something odd had happened to reality. She normally wasn't so chatty. Although this seems to be the traditional version. She smiled. That couldn't be a good sign. And why is that smile worthy? Rodney asked around the clump of bread in his mouth. Well, it merely confirms Ronan's hypothesis. If this were reality, he would be having an allergic reaction right now. Ah! Get it off of me! The bread bits quite possibly reached supersonic speeds as Rodney spit them out. I'm rubber, you're glue. What you say bounces off of me and sticks to you, Ronan taunted. The Marines clearly were disseminating useful bits of Earth culture. But given that Ronan's dissemination of Pegasusian culture, or Satidan specifically, seemed to consist in large part of beating you mercilessly into the mat, Rodney supposed this was part of some long-run plot on the Marines' part to get back at Ronan. I might be a sphere, Rodney. Have you thought of that? Taylor was now twirling the fish in a lazily violent manner. I could be a guide to you. Or I could slap you with this trout. Now, how about listening while I explain the concept of peaceful interactions to you? You know, I hated this book, Rodney interrupted before Taylor could go on about the wonders of being a hyperspear or something. Hate, hate. Also, I bet that damn great circle was an ancient. It would be just like them. Rodney rolled over and fell out of bed. Ouch. Stupid beds. He looked around. Where was his team? Why hadn't they woken him up? Was that breakfast he smelled? They were probably eating all the food. He dazedly made his way outside, rubbing the top of his head, and plopped down gracelessly next to Shepherd. He poured himself a cup of local morning tea. Grumble, grumble. Wasn't coffee. He'd sell his left kidney for a bag of coffee as big as he was. Well, he wouldn't, because organ donation would involve medical voodoo. But he'd sell Radix. No, wait, he was useful. No, he'd sell Kavanaugh's left kidney for a bag of beans. And not even the good kind. That had potential. Ooh, burning! Hey, buddy, I don't think you're supposed to pour boiling water on yourself. Spiky hair. I do not believe Rodney is fully awake yet, John. Crazy trout lady. The Yeti chuckled. Shut up, drinking now. Delightful liquid possibly containing caffeine, the life giver. Wait a moment, what was that familiar smell? Ah! Get that crazy bread away from me! Rodney jumped up and pointed an accusing finger at one of the locals, who was brimming over another loaf of what he now noticed the rest of his team was eating. John looked at him like he was weird. Taylor had on her serene, "He is my friend and teammate, and I shall put up with his, goodness, there are many, quirks, face." And Ronan said, "If you don't want it, I'm taking your share." The grandmotherly lady bringing the bread over had a look on her face he couldn't bother to decipher, but was now holding the bread a bit away from the group. "My companion means no insult to your food," Taylor began. "Crazy stick lady, what did she know? He totally did mean it." "Oh, don't worry yourself. It's quite obvious he hasn't woken up yet. He reminds me of my youngest. Samu was the same way." Crazy old local lady was now placing the bread down on the table. Scowl. "I demand something that won't kill me." "Certainly, dearie." "Don't pat me on the head. Don't. Yes. Walking away." "Rodney, why are you so worried? The bread is perfectly fine. You ate it yesterday with no problems." Taylor gave him a small frown. "Was too a problem. He ate some of mine." Ronan glared up at him from his plate. "Ronan, you stabbed him with your fork. I am certain that the matter is now closed." Taylor's arched eyebrow very clearly stated that if there were any such similar breakfast incidents this morning, there would be dire consequences. Dire. Busy drinking not coffee. Want coffee. "Come on, Rodney. You know there isn't any marble fruit in this. You've described your allergies very extensively every single time we've come to this planet, and there's no way they're bumping off the guy who's single-handedly redesigning their aqueduct system." John was now looking a bit concerned. "Remember? They even checked all the plants you were suspicious of with Carson. There is no way this is death bread." He vaguely remembered that. But deadly bread! Butterfly. What about butterflies? John was becoming increasingly confused by this conversation. "Nothing! Don't let Ronan stab me! It was a dream!" "You did not appear to be sleeping well last night. It is why we let you sleep longer," Taylor soothed. "Of course I wasn't sleeping well! We had to scale these damn bread mountain things in search of a ZPM that we never even got close to! And then we became two-dimensional and you had a trout!" They blinked at him. "I want coffee," he groaned. The end. Companion recipe: Harvest Bread. This makes a tart, moist bread with a delicious crust, perfect for celebrating summer's bounty. U.S. measures: 1 1/2 cups all-purpose flour, 1 cup whole wheat flour, 1/4 teaspoon salt, 2 2/3 teaspoons baking powder, 1/2 cup, or 1 stick, butter. 1 cup packed brown sugar. 2 eggs. 1 to 1 1/2 teaspoons orange oil. 1/2 cup ripe banana, mashed. 3/4 of a cup grated carrots, 1/3 cup chopped walnuts, 1/2 cup, heaping, fresh red currants. Metric: 150 grams all-purpose flour, 130 grams whole wheat flour, 1.3 grams salt, 10 grams baking powder, 115 grams butter, 200 grams brown sugar, 2 eggs, 5 to 7.5 milliliters orange oil, 230 grams ripe banana, mashed, 60 grams grated carrots, 40 grams chopped walnuts, 100 grams fresh red currants. Method: sift together flour, salt, and baking powder in a small bowl and set aside. Cream together sugar and butter in large bowl. Beat in eggs, banana, and orange oil and blend thoroughly. Mix in carrots and walnuts. Add currants and mix in gently. Add in dry ingredients in 4 parts, mixing thoroughly. Dough will be very sticky even after you've finished. Pour dough into well-greased pan and put into oven. Cook for 1 hour at 350 degrees Fahrenheit, 180 degrees Celsius, or gas mark 4, or until a straw inserted in the center comes out clean. Recipe notes: yields 1 loaf. Prep cook time 2 hours. Temperature 350 degrees Fahrenheit, 180 degrees Celsius, gas mark 4. Pan: well-greased 23 cm by 13 cm, 900 gram, 2 pounds, 9 inches by 5 inches loaf tin. The bananas taste best if they are overripe, but ripe will work too. If you're using overripe bananas, the easiest way to deal with them is to freeze them once they are past ripeness and then thaw them before use. If your bananas are underripe, you might have a problem with the batter not being wet enough after you've added all the dry ingredients. If this happens, add up to double the banana amount, or add applesauce. If the batter isn't ready then, ready being defined as all the dry ingredients are mixed into the wet ingredients well, add small amounts of a light oil. I used olive oil, but whatever you like the taste of will work, until the batter is fully mixed. The easiest way to avoid having this extra hassle is to have patience and let your bananas become overripe. If you want a thicker, more solid bread, decrease the amount of baking soda you use. I prefer it at about 7 grams, 2 teaspoons, or a bit less, but most folk I know like it to be lighter, hence why there's more given in the recipe. If you do not have orange oil, orange zest can be used. But since orange oil is very strong, you will need lots of zest. I estimate about 4 oranges. Also, if you want a less strong orange flavor, decrease the orange oil by 1/3. Make sure there are no stems on the currants. Prep time includes chopping the walnuts and grating the carrots. You can use all white flour or all wheat flour if you wish. The mix of flours helps provide a bit of texture to the finished bread, and makes for a very crispy crust when it is hot out of the oven.